जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Om Vishnupad Parvahansa Parivrajika Acharya Stuttara Sutta Sri Srimad His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, All Grace to the Assembled Devotees, All Grace to the Assembled Devotees, All Grace to the Assembled Devotees, All Grace to Sri Sri Guru Gaurango. Put the verse up. So I don't know, what verse is it? What's the number? I can't hear. which Leela? Madhya Leela. Chapter 23. Text 52. I think I can do it here. Oh, we can do it after, I guess. Let's see. Nirveda Harshari Titri Shavya Bichari Sabha mili rasaya chamatkala kari. Nirveda harshari tetrisha vyabichari. Sabha mili rasaya chamatkala kari. Nirveda harshari tetrisha vyabichari. Sabha mili rasaya chamatkara kari. Nirveda harshari tetrisha vyabichari. Sabha mili rasaya chamatkara kari. Nirveda harshari tetrisha vyabichari. Sabha mili rasaya chamatkara kari. Nirveda harshadi tetrisha vyabichari. Sabha mili rasaya chamatkara kari. Okay, word meanings. Nirveda harshadi. Complete despondency. Jubilation and so on. Tetrisha, 33. Vyabhichari, transitory elements. Sabamili, all meeting together. Rasa, the mellow. Haya, becomes chamatkara kari, a cause of wonder. There are other ingredients beginning with complete despondency and jubilation. Altogether, there are 33 varieties, and when these combine, the mellow becomes very wonderful. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Oh, this is the purport. Nirveda, Harsha, and other symptoms are explained in Madhya Lila 14.167. The transitory elements, Vyabhichari, are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.4.1-3 as follows. Ato chante trayas tingshad bhava ye vyabhicharina visheshena bhi mukyena charanti sahayaman prati vag anga sattva sucha ye geyaste vyabhicharina sancharyanti bhavasya gatim sancharinyo pite Unmajjanti nimajjanti. I'm having a hard time seeing that. What's the first letter? S? C? S-I-A? Is that what it says? Excuse me? S-T. Okay. Stayini amrita varidhau urmi vad vardhayantyevam enam yanti tarupa Param chate. Ooh, I feel like I'm at the optometrist doing an eye test. Okay, so this is we're in the purport still, so this is the translation of what I just struggled through. There are 33 transitory elements known as Vyabhichari ecstatic emotions. They especially wander about the permanent sentiments as assistants. They are to be known by words, by different symptoms seen in the limbs and in other parts of the body, and by the peculiar conditions of the heart. Because they set in motion the progress of the permanent sentiments, they are specifically called sanchari, or impelling principles. These impelling principles rise up and fall back in the permanent sentiments of ecstatic love, like waves in an ocean of ecstasy. Consequently, they are called Vyabhichari. And that's that. Not the verse you want to give class on when you're not prepared. So this is this is chapter 23 of Madhya Lila, right? Has all these, that chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the Ramananda Samvad, right? Where Chaitanya is speaking Ramananda Rai. And it traces Krishna consciousness all the way from the beginning. Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Rai questions. He wants explanations about Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya is acting as a student and Ramananda Rai is the teacher. Of course, Ramananda Rai, he's a special personality. When Lord Chaitanya comes, his intimate associates come with him. Lord Chaitanya especially wanted to experience Radha Bhava, the sentiment of Srimati Radharani, the happiness she experiences. What it's like from her perspective to experience Krishna. Because we hear earlier in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna saw that the gopis got more pleasure than he, they were enjoying more than him. He's the supreme enjoyer, but from his perspective he was seeing, they get 10,000 times more pleasure in my association than I can experience. So I want to see what it's like to be on their side. This is the context of loving exchange, you know, you have the two principles, the ashraya and the vishaya. Ashraya means a shelter. So ashraya means the person who shelters the prema, the person who has, who is the holder of the prema, the receptacle of the prema. And the ashraya actually enjoys more than the vishaya, the object of the prema. It's interesting because the idea there is that it's greater to be a lover than to be loved. You get more satisfaction in that way. So, of course, they're both lovers in one sense, and both sides of the exchange. But to have Krishna prema, as Srimati Radharani does, and the other gopis, there's nothing comparable to that. So Lord Chaitanya came to experience that. And when he came, as he does in all his different leelas, his associates come with him. He wants to enjoy in different ways. Of course, that's what he does. Krishna only enjoys. This idea of God as the supreme enjoyer, it's really not part of any other religious tradition. People tend to think of God as the creator in this kind of majestic way, which is natural, of course, because when you think of God, that's the first thing you would think about, is he's an all-powerful person. He created this world, and he created me, and so on. So you naturally think that way. But our definition of God is so much more full and complex. And part of the idea of God is that he's the supreme enjoyer. All he does is enjoy. Now we see that especially in Krishna himself, in Goloka Vrindavan. He's not doing any work there. In the material world, Krishna is also present as the creator. And he has different forms. We know the three Purushas, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. They're involved in different aspects of the creation. So they have a job to do, you might say. Whereas Krishna, he doesn't go to work. He just stays home and enjoys with his friends. So there's a whole science of how Krishna enjoys. So he enjoys in unlimited ways. Everything about Krishna is unlimited. I often think of this idea how everything about Krishna is unlimited. Like one of the aspects of Krishna's enjoyment is that he can enjoy so many things at the same time. Actually does unlimited things at the same time. He's the same Krishna, but he's able to do unlimited things in one moment. Of course, for Krishna, one says there are no moments. He's beyond time. There's no moments in the sense that we conceive of it. That's one reason why Krishna is achintya or inconceivable, because he's beyond space and time. So his enjoyment is also inconceivable. We have nice examples of that in Srimad Bhagavatam, that story of Narada Muni when he goes to visit Krishna in Dwarka. So he hears that Krishna has married 16,108 queens. And he married them all, at least the 16,100. He already had eight. Then he got the 16,100 when he killed this Narakasura who was keeping them locked up in his prison. So he married all of them at the same time. In Gopal Champu, maybe it's in the Bhagavatam too, but I've been listening to Gopal Champu. It says that he had astrological, just like when you have a marriage, usually people, they consult astrology. They want to know a good time, an auspicious time to have the marriage. Obviously, you want the marriage to start off well, so you pick a suitable time. So you look astrologically, when's a good time to have our wedding? So Krishna did that. He consulted. He's a Kshatriya, so he consulted Brahmanas. And a Brahmana said, this is the most auspicious time. But he's got to marry 16,100. He can't do one after the other. He can't do that at one particular muhurta. So what did he do? He did it all at the same time. He married them all at the same time. It's not that he went one and then another and then another and then another. So he married them all at the same time. And because Krishna can arrange everything, or his internal potency, his Lila Shakti, can arrange everything the way he wants. Everything turns out right for Krishna. He's never frustrated in his attempts to enjoy. That's one reason why he's called the Supreme Enjoyer, because he can arrange everything. He has energies. In my last class, I mentioned this phrase that Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita in one purport. It's, in all of his books, it only comes up one place. I was looking in the Veda base trying to find it. It's called Agata Gatana Pratiyasi, which means that his energies have inconceivable power. And of course, that power is used to satisfy his desires. So they can do, the way it's Prabhupada translates it there, he says, it is the power by which the impossible becomes possible. So things that seem impossible, they become possible to Krishna. So this is one of the examples of that. Krishna's marriage to all of these queens simultaneously and living with them simultaneously. They all thought that Krishna was only with him, never left their side. This is from Bhagavatam, specifically it mentions this. They thought he was like a henpecked husband. He couldn't leave home. He loved them so much that he couldn't go anywhere. They were always getting his association. But each one of them was thinking that way. Of course, every day he would go to the assembly, because even though he wasn't technically the king, King Ugrasena was the king, but Krishna was the center of attention there. It seems like Krishna was basically running the show, even though nominally King Ugrasena was the king. So it's described that he was in all these palaces, 16,108 palaces, but then when he would go to the, he would just, all these Krishnas would merge into one Krishna, and he would go and do his, whatever, what his things that he did in the assembly, managing things, meeting with all his associates, of course, they're ready to do whatever he wants. He's the center of attention. It's nice, these, another example, again, as Krishna's always enjoying, so he's enjoying at home. He has a perfect household life. No problems. And he does so many things, as I was saying, so as in the context of Narada seeing him there. So Narada, of course, has great mystic power. And he has experience of everything, basically. Narada is such an interesting personality. So he sees Krishna in a different way, different forms of Krishna. His main base seems to be in Bhadarik Ashram. He gets instruction from Narayana Rishi. But then, he's able to go to Dwarka and associate personally with Krishna. So when Krishna arrives, or when Narada Muni arrives in Dwarka, so Krishna receives him as a sadhu, as a brahmana. He offers worship to him and so on. So Narada Muni sees what Krishna is doing there in this palace. Then he goes to actually all of the other palaces. Somehow, he also has great mystic power. And in every one of them, Krishna is doing something different. And not only, of course, Krishna means he also has his associates. So at the wedding and also in his palaces, he interacts with so many different people. His mother may be there, but she may be there in thousands of other different palaces. So at his wedding also, of course, the whole family has to be there for the wedding. So his family is simultaneously there at all his weddings at the same time. And of course, these things also go on eternally. So whatever Krishna does, it's going on somewhere, in some way, his different leelas. The example is given, and I think it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes. The example is given, it's just like it's always noon somewhere. Or it's always, maybe not on the clock, but where the sun is. It's always sunrise somewhere. The sun is always rising. We see it come and go, but it's always rising. The sunset is always there. So whatever Krishna does, these are permanent, eternal pastimes that go on eternally. They don't end, you can say. They're eternal leelas. So when Krishna enjoys, you can say he enjoys so much, just like if we may really be enjoying something, we say, I wish this would never end. Maybe we're eating a good feast. I wish my belly would never be full. I could just keep eating this all day long. So Krishna doesn't have to stop what he's doing. He can go on and on and on and enjoy it eternally. So when Krishna's enjoying in all these different palaces, at the same time, not only is it apparent, it's not the same time there in these palaces where Krishna's doing things. He does things that take place at different times of the day. And one day is, you know, the first thing, one of the things Krishna does, he practices the Kshatriya arts. He has a horse, sometimes he goes horse riding with his Sindhi horse. You may hear in the Bhagavatam, often the Sindhi horses are mentioned. They're the best horses. So Krishna has his Sindhi horse and he practices sword fighting and club fighting and things like that. Then he has his kids, and on another place, he's bouncing kids on the knee. And another place, he's receiving his sons or daughters who are coming back that they went on their honeymoon or something. They went away. Then they come back. He's receiving them. So these happen at different seasons, different times of the year, in different periods, you can say, of his life. But he does all these things simultaneously. So who can enjoy like that? Everything about Krishna is so inconceivable. So his loving affairs also, they're on such a... We can't really... I always say, like, we can't really get our minds around Krishna when you really think about it. This idea, just like now we're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what is Lord Chaitanya? He's Krishna, and he wanted to experience, he has this longing to experience Radha Bhava. So he came here and did that, but then he went somewhere else and did it. And that's eternally going on. So he's not only longing to experience it, he is experiencing it. And he's ending his time here. You know, Leela seems to have an end. He has his disappearance, kind of a sneaky way. No one really quite knows how Lord Chaitanya left. There are different ideas about it. So he does these things eternally. So imagine, just like this idea too about Krishna when he was in his palaces, and each one of them is fully Krishna. It's not like, it's mentioned that Narada Muni, he was so amazed, I was saying Narada has experienced everything. So he knows that yogis can expand themselves like nine times, something like Kardama Muni was able to expand himself and impregnate Devahuti nine times. So yogis can do things like that. He's one person, but he can sort of make mirror images of himself. So Narada Muni is experienced in these things. He's witnessed these things. He knows about these things. But when he saw Krishna, he was just bewildered. This is beyond anything. No yogi could even come close to this. Because one thing was, in every single place, it wasn't a mirror image of Krishna. It was Krishna himself fully present in all of these places and doing all of these things at the same time. And apparently, Krishna was oblivious of what he was doing in the other places because he's fully present there. Now, in one sense, you can say, well, how can Krishna be oblivious of anything? This is one of the paradoxes of Krishna. This is why he's inconceivable. Because he can completely absorb himself in his enjoyment to such an extent that, well, he forgets that he's God, for example. He can actually forget that he's God. Our acharyas talk about this. There's, in Kunti Devi's prayers, she says, you know, fear personified is afraid of you, but you're afraid of Mother Yashoda. So she says, this bewilders me. How can fear, how can you be afraid of anything? But you're afraid of your mother when she's chasing you with a stick and she's going to bind you up. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think it's on this particular verse, where he describes, he says, don't think that Krishna was just acting. He said, that's not, if you think that way, that's not the right answer. And he gives different explanations of it. And one of the things he says is that we know he wasn't acting because when nobody was looking, he was still afraid and he was still crying. It's not like, I'm on a stage here, so I have to pretend that I'm afraid. But he's so into the role, he can lose himself in the role. It's like they say this about actors. An actor, this person became this character, lost himself in the role. So Krishna can actually lose himself in the role. And again, he can make the impossible possible because he's God. Anything he wants, he can do. So this is, I was talking about this in the context of how Krishna is the enjoyer. So anything, any way he wants to enjoy, he's able to arrange that. And Now, there are devotees who are, of course, like Ramananda Rai. He's expert in how Krishna enjoys. Like the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of course, Rupa Goswami, he's laying out all of this, how Krishna enjoys. And Ramananda Rai, he is also very expert in these things. That's one reason why Lord Chaitanya chose to hear from him, because he was reputed to know everything, you might say, about rasa tattva. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, you know, when you go traveling, you should meet this person, Ramananda Rai, and talk to him, because you'll be amazed. He's such a great devotee. And of course, he's one of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna's closest associates, either Lalita or Vishakha, I forget, or maybe people say different things. So when Krishna came to enjoy his Radharani, he had his assistants to teach him, especially in the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's life. He stayed inside pretty much. He didn't associate so much with, you know, going out into the public, because he was so overwhelmed in his mood of Srimati Radharani. But his closest companions, Srup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they were with him constantly. And helping him enjoy as Srimati Radharani. Another person helping him, of course, was Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani herself. But Srimati Radharani, without the left wing side, Radharani becomes angry and petulant and so on. She has this opposite side. But Krishna loves it. He loves seeing that in Srimati Radharani. But when Gadadhar Pandit, when Krishna Radharani came as in the form of Gadadhar Pandit, he didn't show that side. He was very meek, humble and quiet and submissive and so on. And but he was also involved, it said, in training, you can say training Lord Chaitanya to experience the bhava of Srimati Radharani. And how did he do that? Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya used to meet to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya was getting hints about Srimati Radharani's bhava, even though it's more or less hidden there. But do we do hear about the gopis and some of these statements in the 10th canto that are ascribed to different gopis? The acharyas sometimes say this is Srimati Radharani speaking specifically. For example, the very famous verse, glorification of the Govardhan Hill, our acharyas say that was spoken by Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Gadadhar Pandit to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. So here we have, in the context of what we're reading in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is hearing the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness from Ramananda Rai. And I explained, just like these different bhavas, Sanchari Bhava, Vyavicharani Bhava. So I read these things, but I forget how they go exactly. But the idea is that when they mix together, you have your Stayi Bhava, the liberated soul, the eternal associate of Krishna. Stayi Bhava. Sta, of course, means fixed. In English, we have so many words that begin with sta, with that sound, like stuck and stay and stasis and so on. So those all come from that root. So Stayi Bhava, that's the bhava you have all the time, which is basically what we know of as, you know, Shanta Rasa, Dasya Rasa, and so on, Sakya Rasa, Madhurya Rasa. That's what you are all the time. Just like this, we're always, you know, of course, in a bodily conception, I'm a man and so on, I have a certain relationship with my family and these kinds of things. So that you might say that's my Stayi Bhava. But then I enjoy in different ways with different people. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they have these, you know, this permanent ecstasy. It's called Stayi Bhava, permanent ecstasy. And then there's all kinds of mixing in of these different ecstasies. There are 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, it was mentioned in the verse today. And then there's Ashta Sattvika Bhavas, 8 different Bhavas. That's another category. And so our acharyas explain all of these things. And Ramananda Rai, he wrote different dramas that incorporated, showed these different things. For example, the Jagannath Nataka. Is that what it's called? Jagannath Ballabha Nataka, right? Jagannath Ballabha Nataka. So he was expert at these things. Rupa Goswami, of course, wrote some Lalita Madhavi, Dugdha Madhava. We had that all described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was meeting with other devotees and explaining things. And Ramananda Roy was analyzed. He was there, he was like the expert. Rasik, he knew all about these things, all these technicalities of Sanskrit drama, especially having to do with rasa. Really, what it's all about is rasa. What is drama about? It's about bringing out emotion, really. I mean, a good movie makes people cry or makes people laugh and so on. So Lord Ramananda Roy knew these things, all the details, and how drama should be written. There, Sanskrit poetry, there's so many rules about Sanskrit poetry, how it should be done. So Ramananda Roy is asking Rupa Goswami, so how did you introduce the main characters, and how did you set the scene, and so on, he's asking. And what is the verse, and so on? What is the opening verse, the Mangala Charana, and so on? So he knew all of these things. So he's showing that, actually, in this, or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is showing how Ramananda Roy is explaining all these things to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he's relishing, getting back to Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. Certainly, as Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that Krishna's Lord Chaitanya, even though he's technically not the enjoyer, he's the enjoyed in this role as the devotee. He's experiencing so much ecstasy. Because there's ecstasy going back and forth, or rasa, if you're on the receiving end or the giving end, then there's so much there. It's so overwhelming. So many different kinds of ecstasies take place. Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies were unbelievable, of course. He did so many amazing things. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to stop here because my body needs some... I need to leave here and not take any questions. That's starting to give me some pain, so I need to stop. Please forgive my offenses. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.